I just won an election with 63 million votes or so. 63 million. I had 206 to 223 in the Electoral College. 306 to 223. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. I just won one of the greatest elections of all time in the history of this country. And even you will admit that. And now I have somebody writing a report that never got a vote. It's called the Mueller Report. So explain that, because my voters don't get it.
All right, Mike Rogers, I'm going to make you explain that. Mike Rogers, former congressman, former FBI bigwig. He was even a bigwig here in Chicago. That's why we are always very kind to him, because he knows
too much about us. He knows everything.
And, of course, he was the chairman of the Select Intel Committee. And now he's on the CNN, and you see him talking about these things. And so the president also, when he was speaking, said that he goes, well, yeah, go ahead. Let people find out about the Mueller report. But they don't understand why, because of all of that he just explained. Do you understand why?
Why the report's coming out, or why the president says some of the things the president says?
None of us understand that. I would never ask you to answer that question publicly.
Impossible.
But why is the is there a Mueller report?
Well, and just by the way, for a point of clarification, I can't say I was a big wig in the FBI. More like a toupee. It was not a big wig.
By the way, your toupee is very lovely, as it is currently situated on your head. Go ahead.
Thank you. Listen, this has obviously driven him, beyond obsession. And I saw a report where he's, you know, mentioned and attacked this report some 360 some times. In public comments. And so, you know, I think he's frustrated. I think he's completely frustrated by this. And you can almost see why. The unfortunate thing is the president invited much of this on himself. So I think he wants to his whole strategy has been, if I can, destroy the credibility of this report before it ever comes out, no matter what happens in the report, I can get over it. So even if it's damning, and I have always said, and I still believe this, if you love Trump, you're probably going to find things in here you hate. And if you hate Trump, you're also going to find things in here you hate, because they just didn't get to where you want to go. And so I think this is all part of his strategy to kind of, you know, throw some mud on the wall and see what sticks.
Well, he's been but today especially, let them see it. It should come out. You know, let's be transparent about the whole report. Get it out there. But the Attorney General, William Barr, who is the one whose hands actually, it rests in his hands in terms of whether or not it does get released. He's been a lot more coy about this, about whether he'll release it and what he'll release. I mean, it seems like you could, you know, the president can say whatever he wants, but it's ultimately...
But he's waiting for the Barr to protect him on this.
I have to remember one thing, and I think this is why Barr is being careful. This started as a counterintelligence investigation. And so in the nature of a counterintelligence investigation, much of the information that would be collected in this kind of, they call them a CI investigation, would be classified. And so it might be in the interests of the national security of the United States not to release certain bits of information. And that's why I think Barr is being coy about it, number one. And number two, if you're somebody who was interviewed and then interviewed again, and depending on how they write the report, your name could be brought up in this report. You don't want that kind of information where they find nothing derogatory. He's not really a witness. He did say one interesting thing. You don't want that person's life, you know, ruined forever because they, you know, were talked to by the FBI in an investigation.
That
and so
sense.
I think those kind of people deserve protection as well. And so I think that's why Barr's being a little bit coy, and the president's like, well, you know. And then when he says, oh, they should see it, except for Barr needs to review it first. Okay, got that.
Yeah. I know what we see what you're doing there. You just said it out loud. We heard it. All right, hold on one second here. Now, I want to get to this, because I want to ask you about this. You are I don't know if you're a lifelong Republican, but you were a Republican congressman, right? And a conservative guy, a law and order guy. And also, I think, as I've gotten to know you, a man very respectful of the grand traditions of law enforcement and military in this country. For the fourth time now in 3 days, the president has gone after John McCain. the dead senator and war hero, one of the most decorated military person ever to serve in the Senate. And this is one of the excuses that he gave. Is this the one just from Ohio right now or from the past? All right. He just said this within the last hour at a campaign stop in Ohio. Listen to this.
John McCain received a fake and phony dossier. Do you hear about the dossier? It was paid for by crooked Hillary Clinton, right? And John McCain got it. He got it. And what did he do? Didn't call me. He turned it over to the FBI, hoping to put me in jeopardy. And that's not the nicest thing to do. You know, when those people say, because I'm a very loyal person.
Okay, so John McCain gets handed this dossier. He immediately hands it over to the FBI because it does have things in it that implicate then-candidate Donald Trump, not President Donald Trump, candidate Donald Trump, as it having been having some weaknesses as it pertains to the Russians. And is John McCain not supposed to hand that over to the FBI? What is he supposed to do?
No, he should absolutely turn it over to the FBI for two reasons. One, it could have been a misinformation document, number one, by foreign adversaries, and or there could have been some truthisms in there that would have led the FBI to be concerned. So either way, you want to find that out, and either way, that document was floating somewhere, so it ended up in the senator's hands, and I think, you know, the prudent thing to do was to say, hey, FBI, you're going to need to look at this. I don't know what to make of it. Perfect. That is exactly the right thing. Matter of fact, if the president and his advisors, if related or not, had thought for 1 minute about someone saying, hey, the Russians are coming to the office to have a meeting, they too would have went, you know, I just don't know if that sounds right. Maybe I should talk to the FBI and find out. We wouldn't be here in the first place. And so that protocol of, listen, foreign adversaries want to do bad things in our elections. The Russians have been at this for a very long time. They just haven't had social media to use to do it. And I argue, every candidate is going to have to be mindful of that. And so, I think it was the right thing to do. I wish the president and his advisors had done it versus, taking the meeting and snickering and thinking that this is some kind of a game that our foreign adversaries are trying to do bad things in our election.
Yesterday, I know you've written an op-ed today that's very interesting about Huawei, this Chinese high-tech company, and what the kind of spying expertise that the Chinese have and how they're basically involved in... They really now present as a threat to the national security of the United States in terms of what their intelligence capabilities are because of technology that they've sold into the United States and also because of even cell towers that they've erected in the United States. And yesterday, mm-hmm. we had the Deputy Chief of Staff of the United States Army on, and he was talking about the difference between kinetic war and cyber war, which is kind of, as the Army is, the entire United States military is now gearing up to understand and play in that battlefield as well as a kinetic war with bombs and bullets, right? So there's just a story last week about these Chinese-built cell towers that are near nuclear missile sites throughout and up in the northern plains of the United States where they've got, those embedded sites. And near bases, very important and strategic bases for the United States military. This is a really important issue that I don't think is getting enough attention.
Thanks for even bringing it up. I can't get most people want to talk about it because it doesn't seem all that sexy. But it's called ICE, or Internet Communications Equipment. And so one of the big kerfuffle over this whole thing is that the Chinese have been building this equipment, and we have found something called non-disclosed administrative functions in Canada. China Telecom rerouted massive amounts of internet data through Beijing so they could copy it and send it back. They did it to Korea, Canada, and some of that was the United States internet traffic as well. This is a huge problem. The Chinese Communist Party controls every company that operates in China. This is no exception. And I worry that we're just kind of, falling asleep at the switch here by saying, well, it's cheaper. Now, remember, they stole intellectual property to build this equipment. They didn't design it themselves. That's right. A big problem. We know that they have been caught with their hands in the cookie jar about moving information and undisclosed functions and, you know, collecting data and using it as a surveillance platform. That's not good. And the Chinese government subsidizes their telecommunications companies with huge central bank loans that never get paid back. That's the third problem. I don't know why we would allow that for a few dollars savings, because it's Chinese-made gear, into our networks. And so the big fight is over 5G build-out, which is the next generation that you'll get on your phone, and you'll be able to do pretty amazing things on it.
Right. Coming out
why
this year.
Why we want to try to keep the Chinese. Yeah, it's huge. But here's the in the quick and dirty of that is, normally you can secure that network from something called the core, which is the center place that pushes it out. That's how we do it on the current technology on your phone. But when 5G comes, lots of that security protocol stuff is going to be moved to what they call the edge, meaning those towers that you talked about being close to those military bases will have the capability to do things that the core back at the, you know, back at the headquarters won't even see or know about. That's why people like me are so worried about the national security implications of this, and why we're trying to get people's attention, say, hey, we really can't allow them in. They're bad actors. They have done unethical things for sure. So what company would you want to deal with that had that ethical record? And then number three, you know, there's great information out there. And intelligence services all over the world are saying, hey, these guys are an arm of the intelligence service. We better be careful.
That's what I thought was fascinating in your op-ed piece, that, you know, the Huawei has been making, has a huge public relations campaign right now to say, no, we're just a telecommunications company, as you pointed out, linked to Beijing, but that is an extension of Chinese intelligence, widely believed. Even though they deny it, it appears fairly obvious to those in the intelligence community.
Yeah. And it's in the Hill, by the way.
Exactly.
People want to read this, you go to thehill.com.
It's fascinating reading. You'll tear up, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll love the ending.
Only you can do that to us, Mike.
Quite honestly, now he's oversold it. See,
yeah,
I gave him an opportunity to play. It's a really important issue. And it really
was it a little bit much.
Yeah, it was a little much. But I will say this: you're hitting on something. You know, we're getting caught. One of the things about this era in American politics is we're caught in this, you know, sort of slapstick game of George Conway is a whack job, and you know, John McCain should remain dead, and all the kinds of crazy things that people are saying. And yet, our national security is there are major developments, technological developments, international political developments that are going on, and the American people's eye is off the ball and ear is off the ball because of the things that are that, you know, that you can't take your eyes off of the, you know, the crazy fourth grade histrionics that go on in Washington. And this is important stuff, and we don't want to go through an entire presidential cycle or two and not pay attention to the real threats that exist for the United States of America, because presidents come and go, but we do not want to give high ground to people who want to hurt us.
Completely agree, 100%. And, you know, Congress right now can't even figure out. I mean, it's turned into the House of Investigations. Every committee now has an investigative committee on it. And, yeah, that's all in good. And I understand if you hate the president, you love that. But the problem is that means none of the normal thinking strategically that the country should be doing right now is really happening. Right. That's what worries me. We should be dealing with this issue now, because it's only going to get more difficult, right, and our data will be even less secure. So you better deal with it now. That's just not happening, and that worries me as well.
And the White House could be showing some leadership on that as well, and they're not filling positions that they absolutely do need. And then you get situations like what's going to happen here with Boeing and the investigation into this particular aircraft, because the story just got worse and worse and worse today about that. And clearly, Boeing, was aware that there were things with this aircraft that needed to be addressed. And you know, at what point were they? At what point in that fix were they when this plane just went down last week? So there are a lot of questions, and again, these are things that really impact the safety of Americans and the security of Americans. And I'd like you know, both sides to pay attention to this and let the Mueller report come out and let John McCain rest in peace. Those are things I'd like to see, but you know, I don't get everything I want. Just like you, Mike, you don't get everything you want. We just muddle through every day.
Yeah, you just got to keep trying. I mean, I loved your optimism. I it sounded a lot like you were on the knee of Santa Claus there for a moment, asking for the big red bike with the bell on it.
It's all I want.
It's all I want. That's it.
Please, Santa.
I do hope that as Americans, we kind of get our heads out of our collective backsides. There are a lot of people that want to take away what we have here. You know, we spent a lot of time in this country telling each other why we don't like each other because we look different, and or the country, we don't like the country because it, you know, wasn't successful and you were. And I'll tell you what, the reason that people try to continue to come to this country is because we have this rare opportunity that built around an ideology that allows us to do better than our parents did. And anyone can succeed here if you, you know, work hard and do all the things you're supposed to do. And right now, all we can do is just badmouth each other and the country, and it's not helping us. And our adversaries would love to take it away from us. And if we're not paying attention, they will.
Amen.
Mike Rogers, we'll leave it there. Read this piece, people, in The Hill that Mike Rogers wrote about security and data security and electronic security in this new emerging 5G world and with the Chinese involvement in it. It's fascinating stuff. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Hey, hope so. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Is the third time the charm for British Prime Minister Theresa May and her Brexit plan?